Supreme Court of the United States, Deborah Morse versus Joseph Frederick, June 25, 2007. Chief Justice Roberts delivered the opinion of the court. At a school-sanctioned and school-supervised event, a high school principal saw some of her students unfurl a large banner, conveying a message she reasonably regarded as promoting illegal drug use. Consistent with established school policy prohibiting such messages at school events, the principal directed the students to take down the banner. One student, among those who had brought the banner to the event, refused to do so. The principal confiscated the banner and later suspended the student. The Ninth Circuit held that the principal's actions violated the First Amendment and that the student could sue the principal for damages. Our cases make clear that students do not shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate. At the same time, we have held that the constitutional rights of students in public school are not automatically coextensive with the rights of adults in other settings, and that the rights of students must be applied in light of the special characteristics of the school environment. Consistent with these principles, we hold that schools may take steps to safeguard those entrusted to their care from speech that can reasonably be regarded as encouraging illegal drug use. We conclude that the school officials in this case did not violate the First Amendment by confiscating the pro-drug banner and suspending the student responsible for it. Part 1. On January 24, 2002, the Olympic torch relay passed through Juneau, Alaska, on its way to the Winter Games in Salt Lake City, Utah. The torch bearers were to proceed along a street in front of the Juneau Douglas High School, JDHS, while school was in session. Petitioner Deborah Morse, the school principal, decided to permit staff and students to participate in the torch relay as an approved social event or class trip. Students were allowed to leave class to observe the relay from either side of the street. Teachers and administrative officials monitored the students' actions. Respondent Joseph Frederick, a JDHS senior, was late to school that day. When he arrived, he joined his friends, all but one of whom were JDHS students, across the street from the school to watch the event. Not all the students waited patiently. Some became rambunctious, throwing plastic cola bottles and snowballs and scuffling with their classmates. As the torchbearers and camera crews passed by, Frederick and his friends unfurled a 14-foot banner bearing the phrase, "Bong Hits for Jesus." The large banner was easily readable by the students on the other side of the street. Principal Morse immediately crossed the street and demanded that the banner be taken down. Everyone but Frederick complied. Morse confiscated the banner and told Frederick to report to her office, where she suspended him for 10 days. Morse later explained that she told Frederick to take the banner down because she thought it encouraged illegal drug use in violation of established school policy. Juneau School Board Policy Number 5520 states, "The board specifically prohibits any assembly or public expression that advocates the use of substances that are illegal to minors." In addition, Juneau School Board Policy Number 5550 subjects pupils who participate in approved social events and class trips to the same student conduct rules that apply during the regular school program. Frederick administratively appealed his suspension, but the Juneau School District Superintendent upheld it, limiting it to time served, 8 days. In a memorandum setting forth his reasons, the superintendent determined that Frederick had displayed his banner in the midst of his fellow students during school hours at a school-sanctioned activity. He further explained that Frederick was not disciplined because the principal of the school disagreed with his message, but because his speech appeared to advocate the use of illegal drugs. The superintendent continued, "The common sense understanding of the phrase bong hits is that it is a reference to a means of smoking marijuana. Given Frederick's inability or unwillingness to express any other credible meaning for the phrase, I can only agree with the principal and countless others who saw the banner as advocating the use of illegal drugs. Frederick's speech was not political. He was not advocating the legalization of marijuana or promoting a religious belief. He was displaying a fairly silly message promoting illegal drug usage in the midst of a school activity, for the benefit of television cameras covering the torch relay. Frederick's speech was potentially disruptive to the event and clearly disruptive of and inconsistent with the school's educational mission to educate students about the dangers of illegal drugs and to discourage their use. Relying on our decision in Fraser, the superintendent concluded that the principal's actions were permissible because Frederick's banner was speech or action that intrudes upon the work of the schools. The Juneau School District Board of Education upheld the suspension. Frederick then filed suit under 42 U.S.C. Section 1983, alleging that the school board and Morse had violated his First Amendment rights. He sought declaratory and injunctive relief, unspecified compensatory damages, punitive damages, and attorney's fees. The district court granted summary judgment for the school board and Morse, ruling that they were entitled to qualified immunity and that they had not infringed Frederick's First Amendment rights. The court found that Morse reasonably interpreted the banner as promoting illegal drug use, a message that directly contravened the board's policies relating to drug abuse prevention. Under these circumstances, the court held that Morse had the authority, if not the obligation, to stop such messages at a school-sanctioned activity. The Ninth Circuit reversed, deciding that Frederick acted during a school-authorized activity and proceeding on the basis that the banner expressed a positive sentiment about marijuana use. The court nonetheless found a violation of Frederick's First Amendment rights because the school punished Frederick without demonstrating that his speech gave rise to a risk of substantial disruption. The court further concluded that Frederick's right to display his banner was so clearly established that a reasonable principal in Morse's position would have understood that her actions were unconstitutional and that Morse was therefore not entitled to qualified immunity. We granted certiorari on two questions: whether Frederick had a First Amendment right to wield his banner, and if so, whether that right was so clearly established that the principal may be held liable for damages. We resolved the first question against Frederick and therefore have no occasion to reach the second. Part two. At the outset, we reject Frederick's argument that this is not a school speech case, as has every other authority to address the question. The event occurred during normal school hours. It was sanctioned by Principal Morse as an approved social event or class trip, and the school district's rules expressly provide that pupils in approved social events and class trips are subject to district rules for student conduct. Teachers and administrators were interspersed among the students and charged with supervising them. The high school band and cheerleaders performed. Frederick, standing among other JDHS students across the street from the school, directed his banner toward the school, making it plainly visible to most students. Under these circumstances, we agree with the superintendent that Frederick cannot stand in the midst of his fellow students during school hours and at a school-sanctioned activity and claim he is not at school. There is some uncertainty at the outer boundaries as to when courts should apply school speech precedents, but not on these facts. Part three. The message on Frederick's banner is cryptic. It is no doubt offensive to some, perhaps amusing to others. To still others, it probably means nothing at all. Frederick himself claims that the words were just nonsense meant to attract television cameras. But Principal Morse thought the banner would be interpreted by those viewing it as promoting illegal drug use, and that interpretation is plainly a reasonable one. As Morse later explained in a declaration, when she saw the sign, she thought that the reference to a bong hit would be widely understood by high school students and others as referring to smoking marijuana. She further believed that the display of the banner would be construed by students, district personnel, parents, and others witnessing the display of the banner as advocating or promoting illegal drug use in violation of school policy. I told Frederick and the other members of his group to put the banner down because I felt that it violated the school policy against displaying material that advertises or promotes use of illegal drugs. We agree with Morse. At least two interpretations of the words on the banner demonstrate that the sign advocated the use of illegal drugs. First, the phrase could be interpreted as an imperative: take bong hits, a message equivalent, as Morse explained in her declaration, to smoke marijuana or use an illegal drug. Alternatively, the phrase could be viewed as celebrating drug use. Bong hits are a good thing, or we take bong hits, and we discern no meaningful distinction between celebrating illegal drug use in the midst of fellow students and outright advocacy or promotion. The pro-drug interpretation of the banner gains further plausibility given the paucity of alternative meanings the banner might bear. The best Frederick can come up with is that the banner is meaningless and funny. The dissent similarly refers to the sign's message as curious, ambiguous, nonsense, ridiculous, obscure, silly, quixotic, and stupid. Gibberish is surely a possible interpretation of the words on the banner, but it is not the only one, and dismissing the banner as meaningless ignores its undeniable reference to illegal drugs. The dissent mentions Frederick's credible and uncontradicted explanation for the message. He just wanted to get on television. But that's a description of Frederick's motive for displaying the banner. It's not an interpretation of what the banner says. The way Frederick was going to fulfill his ambition of appearing on television was by unfurling a pro-drug banner at a school event in the presence of teachers and fellow students. Elsewhere in its opinion, the dissent emphasizes the importance of political speech and the need to foster national debate about a serious issue, as if to suggest that the banner is political speech. But not even Frederick argues that the banner conveys any sort of political or religious message. Contrary to the dissent's suggestion, this is plainly not a case about political debate over the criminalization of drug use or possession.